So I'm here with McLean Schofield, a writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. Tell me about what you do here at Microsoft.
I'm also called a programming writer. I write technical documentation for developers. So I'm kind of a combination investigator. I sleuth through source code and developing features, figure out how they work, and then I figure out how best to document them for the public.
And what areas of Visual Studio do you write about?
Right now I'm documenting some of the Office development features and some new features for SharePoint development.
Okay. So you wrote a topic called Binding WPF Controls to Data in Visual Studio. You describe how you can create data-bound controls by dragging them from the data sources window onto the WPF designer, but you say that there's only a certain area within the designer. Can you tell me about that?
Well, there's certain valid drop targets. There's a set of container drop targets where you would drag a data item over if you want to create a brand new data-bound control. And there's also a set of control drop targets where if you already have an existing control, then you can drag the data item over on top of that control to add a brand new data binding to that control. And since there's only certain controls that can be data bound, then there's only certain valid control drop targets, and there's also only certain drop targets that can contain controls. So the topic explains the full list of valid drop targets.
Okay. So can you demonstrate an example of creating a data bound control?
Sure can. I'm going to start off here with a simple Visual Basic WPF application that doesn't have any UI yet. I just created a new application. And I'll show you the process of creating a new type data set and then dragging it over to create some data bound controls.
Great.
We'll start here by going into the Add New Data Source option, and this launches the Data Source Configuration Wizard. Make sure that database is selected. Right now, data set is the only option here, so I'll click Next. And I already have a connection to the AdventureWorks LT sample database for SQL Server, so I'm going to use that. And just confirming the connection string here. And then finally, the last page, I get to choose which database tables I want to use as the basis for my typed data set. And I'll wait for it to come up. It's calling out the remote server, and here we go. I'm just going to click Customer for the Customers table, and click Finish. And in a minute here, Visual Studio will generate a new type data set based on the customer table from the AdventureWorks LT sample database. This AdventureWorks LT dataset.xsd file contains all the definitions of that type data set. Now, what you'll see is that the XAML definition for the window hasn't changed yet. There's just basically a basic window without any contents yet. What I'm going to do is show the data sources. And in Visual Studio 2010 Beta 1, you also need to build your project after first adding the data to the project before you can drag and drop the data-bound controls over. I think that's going to be changing in a later release. So right now here you see the customer data table. I'm going to make sure that data grid is selected here. So that means when I drag and drop it over, it's going to generate a data grid.
So what's happening behind the scenes when you drag that item?
Good question. So behind the scenes, if you expand the XAML view down here, Visual Studio generates a whole bunch of XAML that sets up all the data binding for you. The first thing it does is it adds this resources tag to the window, and it defines a new collection view source object that acts as an intermediary object between the data grid control and the underlying data. And then it also adds the data grid here via this tag, and it sets the binding source for the data grid to the customer view source that's in the resources higher up. And then, farther down, in addition to defining all the rows and columns of the data grid, it sets the binding of each column to a particular column inside a data table. So here, this column is bound to the title column. This column is bound to the first name column in the data table, and so on and so on. And that's one aspect of what it does. And then Visual Studio also, if you go into the underlying Visual Basic code file for your WPF window, this code here was also generated when I dragged the customer table over. So basically what this is doing is instantiating the type data set, and it's getting the table adapter. It's using the table adapter to fill the data set via this fill method here. And then it's also instantiating the customer view source, and it's using the move current to first method to set the data, the current data item, to the very first item in the data table. So it kind of just is creating some default settings for just kind of the key generic scenarios that should apply in most cases. And then once Visual Studio generates all this stuff, you're more than welcome to go in and modify the code, modify the XAML, whatever you want to do. If you're an expert with WPF data binding, you should just consider this as a starting point, and then you can go off and party on everything we did for you.
So if you run this right now, what do you get?
Hopefully, we'll get a data-bound data grid that populates with all the data from the customer data table. Here we go. As you can see, the UI isn't really optimized. It finds some default settings for the size of the data grid. When you first drag it over, you'll probably need to resize it, modify it as appropriate for a UI. But as you can see, it's filled with all the data from the customer table, starting with Mr. Orlando Gee, all the way down to the very last customer, Caroline Vicnair, and these are all customers from the customer table and the AdventureWorks sample database.
Excellent. Thanks, McLean.
You're welcome.